Good morning, church. Turn with me, if you would, to Numbers chapter 3. We are journeying with Jesus in the wilderness. I was hoping to tackle chapters 3 and 4, but there's just too much. So we'll take chapter 3 today, Lord willing, chapter 4 next week. Before we dig in, let's pause and ask for God's help in prayer. King of the universe, the one who was and is to come, we're here, we're gathered to worship you, to sing your praise, to listen to your voice. Give us ears to hear. Open our hearts by your Spirit to receive what you have for us today. And Lord, would you speak to us through your word? Change us, transform us, grow us to be more like Jesus. We ask it, Jesus, in your mighty name. Amen. Numbers chapter 3. Looking at the left out Levites. Chapter 1, the generation who experienced the Exodus, God's deliverance out of slavery, out of Egypt, were numbered, counted, a census was taken in preparation for battle, for entering into the promised land. That's the goal. God says, I give you this land. We're going to count the people and arrange them for battle. Chapter 2, the tribes are organized around the central tent of Yahweh. Three tribes under one banner on each side of the tabernacle. In both the numbering and in the organization, the tribe of Levi is left out. Expressly commanded to be left out. Here in chapters 3 and 4, we see two different numberings of the Levites for two different purposes, and their organization around and responsibilities for caring for and protecting, guarding the Lord's tent. We're told in chapter 1, Numbers 1 verse 47, the Levites were not listed along with them by their ancestral tribe, for Yahweh spoke to Moses saying, only the tribe of Levi you shall not list, and you shall not make a census of them among the people of Israel, but appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of the testimony and over all its furnishings and over all that belongs to it. They are to carry the tabernacle and all its furnishings. They shall take care of it and shall camp around the tabernacle. Remember, we talked last week about the danger of coming too close to the Lord in an unworthy, unfit manner. The Levites were to act as an insulator, a buffer to protect the people from God's wrath and to protect God's holy tent from trespassers. Verse 51 of Numbers chapter 1, when the tabernacle is to set out, the Levites shall take it down. Understand, this is the portable tent. God's people are on the move. They are at war. They are taking ground from the enemy. This is a portable tent as God travels with them, camping in their midst. When the tabernacle is to set out, the Levites shall take it down. When the tabernacle is to be pitched, the Levites shall set it up. And if any outsider comes near, he shall be put to death. This is serious. The people of Israel shall pitch their tents by their companies, each man in his own camp, each man by his own standard, but the Levites shall camp around the tabernacle of the testimony, so that there may be no wrath on the congregation of the people of Israel. And the Levites shall keep guard over the tabernacle of the testimony. So you see, there are guards in both directions. They are guarding the people from God's wrath, insulating, protecting the people from God's wrath, and they are protecting God's tent from trespassers that would come in, stumble in, unfit, unprepared, at their own peril. Chapter 2, the marching sequence, after the camp of Judah, after the camp of Reuben, in Numbers chapter 2, verse 17, then the tent of meeting shall set out, with the camp of the Levites in the midst of the camps. As they camp, so they shall set out, each in position, standard by standard. So God is organizing and orchestrating the way the people march. The camp of Judah, the camp of Reuben, the Levites with carrying the tabernacle, then the camps of Ephraim and the camps of Dan to follow. And remember, three tribes under each standard, under each banner. Numbers 2, verse 33, but the Levites were not listed among the people of Israel as Yahweh commanded Moses. So the left out Levites, we're looking at them today and next week. Numbers 3 begins this way. These are the generations of Aaron and Moses at the time when Yahweh spoke with Moses on Mount Sinai. These are the names of the sons of Aaron. Nadab, the firstborn, Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar. These are the names of the sons of Aaron, the anointed priests, whom he ordained to serve as priests. But Nadab and Abihu died before Yahweh when they offered unauthorized fire before Yahweh in the wilderness of Sinai, and they had no children. So Eleazar, Ithamar, served as priest in the lifetime of Aaron, their father. This introduction to the family of Aaron is a reminder of the danger of unbelief, the danger of disobedience. Yahweh desires to dwell among his people, those he has redeemed out of slavery, but he must be treated as holy by all who approach him. He clearly communicates what he requires of those who would draw near, the way in which they are to draw near to enter his holy presence. But Nadab, Abihu were spontaneous in their worship. They didn't follow God's instructions. Only the high priest was authorized to offer incense, but they took this honor to themselves. They stepped in where they didn't belong. The recipe in Exodus chapter 30, the recipe for this holy incense was explicitly spelled out. This is what the holy incense is to consist of, that which is to be burned in the presence of Yahweh God. Nobody else is supposed to make that outside of use for the tabernacle, for the temple. We don't know what incense it was they put in their censers to burn. Probably not this holy incense. The coals for the censer were to be taken, according to Leviticus 16, were to be taken from the altar of burnt offering, which Yahweh himself had ignited that fire. That is the fire that is to be used. They offered unauthorized fire. God wants to be approached. He wants to be with his people, but he must be approached only in the way he himself prescribes, not in just any way that seems right to us. Jesus said in John 14, I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. That is our prescribed way. The way to the Father is through His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only access we have to the Father. Verse 3 describes the sons of Aaron as anointed priests. Priests, kings, both were anointed with oil to set them apart for their office. The Hebrew word translated anointed is where we get the word Messiah. That's a Hebrew word. The Greek word for anointing is Christ. Jesus was anointed, not with oil, but with the Holy Spirit. He, Jesus, is our great high priest. Verse 5, Yahweh spoke to Moses saying, over and over we see this in Numbers, Yahweh God spoke. He spoke to Moses. He gave instruction. He is a God who communicates. Treasure that fact. This is His communication to us, His people. Yahweh spoke to Moses saying, bring the tribe of Levi near and set them before Aaron the priest that they may minister to him. They shall keep guard over him and over the whole congregation before the tent of meeting as they minister or serve at the tabernacle. They shall guard all the furnishings of the tent of meeting and keep guard over the people of Israel as they minister at the tabernacle. You shall give the Levites to Aaron and his sons. They are wholly given to him from among the people of Israel. And you shall appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall guard the priesthood. But if any outsider comes near, he shall be put to death. So the rest of the Levites, not descended from Aaron, were to serve Aaron, to serve in God's tent, to care for the tent, to guard the tent, and to guard the people from God's presence. They are commissioned to guard duty. Guarding the people from the wrath of God, guarding God's tent from unauthorized entry. They were authorized, again, it's repeated, they were authorized to use lethal force against the intruder, which would prevent God's wrath from breaking out and dealing with this himself. The Levites were set apart for this in Exodus chapter 32. Last week we said, why Levites? Why are they left out? Why do they have this honored place closest to the tabernacle? This is from Exodus chapter 32 during the out of control idolatry with the golden calf. Remember, Moses is on the mountain receiving God's words, God's instruction, the tablets of the covenant document that outlined what the people were agreeing to in their relationship with the Lord and what the Lord was promising to His people. As He's coming down the mountain, He says, it sounds like there's war in the camp. No, it's not war, unfortunately. Exodus 32 verse 25, when Moses saw that the people had broken loose, Aaron had made them a golden calf and they were worshiping something that their own hands had made, rather than the one true God who is to be worshipped without images. When Moses saw the people had broken loose, for Aaron had let them break loose to the derision of their enemies. You see, God's reputation is at stake. How God's people conduct themselves reflects on who God is. You might think, oh, my actions, my behavior, what I do, it doesn't really matter. Oh, it matters. If you bear the name of Christ, if you call yourself Christian, a follower of Jesus, you're reflecting on the reputation of our Lord. Aaron had let them break loose to the derision of their enemies. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on Yahweh's side? Come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered around him. And he said to them, thus says Yahweh God of Israel, put your sword on your side, each one of you, and go to and fro from gate to gate throughout the camp, each of you kill his brother and his companion and his neighbor. Those who have broken loose, those who are sinning. We don't know exactly what they were doing, but they were out of control. They were dishonoring the name of Yahweh God. And that's a capital offense. And the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And that day about 3,000 men of the people fell. And Moses said, today you have been ordained, set apart for the service of Yahweh, each one at the cost of his son and of his brother, so that he might bestow a blessing upon you this day. Understand, family ties are to be treasured. God's reputation, God's honor is to be treasured more. Because the sons of Levi fiercely defended the holiness of Yahweh, they were blessed with the responsibility, with the privilege of ministering, serving Yahweh in his tent. Numbers 3 tells us how this works. How is this, the Levites, what is their role? How does this unfold? Yahweh spoke to Moses saying, again, instruction from the Lord, behold, I have taken the Levites from among the people of Israel instead of every firstborn who opens the womb among the people of Israel. The Levites shall be mine. For all the firstborn are mine. On the day that I struck down all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, I consecrated, I set apart for myself, to be my own, all the firstborn in Israel, both of man and of beast, they shall be mine. I am Yahweh. If you remember back to the Exodus, it ended with the beginning of Passover. Certain plagues, certain of the things that God sent to show his superiority over all the gods of Egypt, the false gods that the Egyptians worshipped, some of them were across the land. Some of them affected Israelite and Egyptian the same. Some of them he drew a distinction and said, these will be on the Egyptians, but my people will be protected from them. The Passover, he made a way for it to not affect anyone. They were to take a lamb. They were to slaughter that lamb. They were to put the blood on the door. And when the destroying angel, the angel of Yahweh, came to that house and saw the blood, a sacrifice had been made. That house was spared. Those inside that house were protected. The firstborn were not killed, unlike those who didn't bother to take the precaution God had prescribed. Again, we must approach God in the way that he has prescribed. He says, those firstborn that were spared in the Exodus, they belong to me. They were set apart to serve the Lord. Here in Leviticus chapter 3, or in Numbers chapter 3, Yahweh is saying, I am, and this is as a result of Exodus 32, I am taking, in place of the firstborn, I am taking the tribe of Levi, the Levites. They will be the ones that fulfill that role of those who serve me, the firstborn role. The rest of chapters 3 and 4 structured around two censuses, two countings of the people. The census in chapter 3, verses 14 to 39, every male Levite 1 month old and up who were counted as substitutes. Then the census of chapter 4 is male Levites 30 years old up to 50 years. Those are the ones who would do the work of the tabernacle, of the sanctuary, who would carry, who would pack up, who would set up God's holy tent. So two different censuses, two different purposes. The second in chapter 4, those who would do the work, who were given that responsibility. Chapter 3, those from a month old all the way up, those were counted in place of the firstborn of Israel. At the heart of this passage, between these two censuses, is substitution, is redemption. The substitution of Levites for the firstborn, the redemption of any firstborn who were not covered by a substitute. Thought it would be helpful to put up a family tree of the tribe of Levi, just so you can kind of see. I don't know if you can read that very well, but to see where we're at. It's just so helpful to have a visual, for me anyway. That's helpful to you as well. Numbers 3, verse 14. Yahweh spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, saying, "List the sons of Levi by their fathers' houses, by clans. Every male from a month old and upward you shall list." So Moses listed them according to the word of Yahweh as he was commanded. And these were the sons of Levi by their names. Remember, Levi is one of the sons of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jacob's 12 sons. His second born was Levi. Third born, Reuben, Simeon, Levi. Levi had three sons, Gershon, Kohath, Merari, in that order. That's their birth order. And these are the names of the sons of Gershon. So we take the firstborn. Now what are his sons? By their clans, Libni, Shimei. And the sons of Kohath, the secondborn, by their clans, Amram, Izhar, Hebron, Uziel. By the way, Amram is the father of Aaron, of Miriam, and of Moses. So Moses, Aaron, they are Kohathites. They are descended through the secondborn son of Levi. So they are Levites. They are a subgroup of Levites. But God has taken Aaron and his sons and said these and only these are to be the priests who actually serve in the tabernacle. The rest of the Levites, not descended from the line of Aaron, those are the ones responsible for guarding, protecting, caring for, carrying, setting up, taking down the tabernacle. We'll look more in the details of that in chapter 4 as it gets into very explicit details of what that's to look like. Sons of Kohath, Amram, who is the ancestor, the father of Aaron, Moses, Izhar, Hebron, Uziel, and the sons of Merari, the last born, but their clans, Mahli and Mushi. There's a good name if you're looking for boys' names, Mushi. Hey, Mushi. Might be a better dog name. I don't, forgive me, that's probably me. These are the clans of the Levites by their fathers' houses. So listed in birth order, each by their clans, to count the males a month old and up. And each section ends, and the rest of, as you read through the rest of the chapter, each section ends with how many there are, where they're to camp in relation to the tabernacle, because remember, everything in the camp revolves around the tabernacle. Everything is centered on God and His presence among His people. A brief overview of what part of the tabernacle this group of Levites was responsible for. That again will be elaborated more precisely in chapter 4. Gershonites, they're to camp west of, and remember this listing is by birth order, so it's out of order from the way the tribes were arranged. The most important place is the entrance. That comes last in this list. So it's kind of random as far as looking at the graphic of the tabernacle, how it's arranged. But the Gershonites were to camp west of the central tent. That's opposite the entrance. That's the backside of the tent. They were to be responsible for the tent fabrics. So the cloth goods, the coverings, the screens, the hangings, the cords. Now when you unpack your tent, typically, we did this at men's retreat, you unzip the bag, you pull out the tent, you've got the tent body, the tent fabric, and then you've got a separate bag that has the tent poles. And we have division of labor here. We have duties and responsibilities. You guys take care of the, and pack the cloth goods, the actual body of the tent. These other guys are going to take, we'll see that in a minute, the tent poles, the frame, the structure. And then, well, what goes inside the tent? You've got the furnishings, the furniture, the actual holy things that were to be inside God's holy tent. So that's how this is divided up. The Gershonites, west of the central tent, responsible for the tent fabrics, the coverings. Kohathites, they were to camp to the south, the position of second importance. They were to guard the tabernacle furniture, the furnishings, the ark, the table, the lampstand, the altars, everything connected with those, all the instruments that were to be actually used in the temple. That was their responsibility. Verse 32 tells us Eleazar, son of Aaron, was to oversee those Levites who were guarding the sanctuary. They were to be supervised by one of the priests, the son of Aaron. The Merarites were to camp to the north. They were to be, that's probably the last importance as far as if you're starting in the east and going clockwise around the tabernacle as the tribes were structured. Merarites were the last at the north. They were to be responsible for the frames, the bars, the pillars, the bases, the structure, the framework of the tabernacle with its tent pegs and cords. This section concludes with Moses and Aaron, their families camped in the prime position to the east at the entrance, in front of the entrance of God's tent. Verse 38 of chapter 3, those who were to camp before the tabernacle on the east, before the tent of meeting toward the sunrise, were Moses and Aaron and his sons, so the priests, descendants of Aaron, guarding the sanctuary itself to protect the people of Israel. And any, here it is again, any outsider who came near was to be put to death. Verse 39, all those listed among the Levites whom Moses and Aaron listed at the commandment of Yahweh by clans, all the males from a month old and upward were 22,000. Moses and Aaron of the clan of the Kohathites, they were to oversee the operations of the entire sanctuary. To each person, each tribe, each group was delegated, was designated a specific task to allow maximum efficiency in mobilizing this camp. When they were to set out, everybody knew what they were to do. They jumped in and started doing it. Now, if you jump over and say, oh, hey, let me help you with that. You look like you're having a little trouble. And you leave undone what you were called to do. No. Stay in line. Stay in your role. Stay in your position. This was, you had a God-given task to do that doesn't allow you the liberty to step out and do something you feel like you'd like to do. God is in charge. This is His tent. This is how it's to be handled. If that happened, it would be mass chaos and confusion. Again, a reminder of the danger of death to those unauthorized. Numbers 3, verse 40. Yahweh said to Moses, list all the firstborn males of the people of Israel from a month old and upward, taking the number of their names, and you shall take the Levites for me, I am Yahweh, instead of all the firstborn among the people of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites, instead of all the firstborn among the cattle of the people of Israel. So Moses listed all the firstborn among the people of Israel, as Yahweh commanded him. And all the firstborn males, according to the number of names, from a month old and upward, as listed, were 22,273. Here's another census. This is why the book of Numbers got its name Numbers. It's counting. It's taking census of the people. We had the census of the different tribes in chapters 1 and 2. Here in chapter 3, we have the census, the counting of how many, the Levites, 1 month up to death. In chapter 4, we have the Levites 30 to 50. Here, we have the firstborn of all the rest of the tribes. Why? This census was to count the firstborn of Israel, not just Levi, of the whole community, those firstborn who, according to Exodus, belong to the Lord, those who, according to Numbers chapter 3, needed to be redeemed, needed to be substituted. And we see clearly here this principle of substitution. One person taking the place of another person, standing in the stead of another person. The firstborn Israelite, by means of the Passover, belonged to God. They were obligated to serve Yahweh however God chose, but God took the Levites in their place. But this was not some vague, undefined group of people taking the place of another nebulous, undefined people. No, substitution here was to be one for one. One Levite could take the place of exactly one firstborn Israelite. And God said, count them. Count them. In verse 44, Yahweh spoke to Moses, again the authoritative word of Yahweh God, saying, take the Levites instead of, in place of, as a substitute for all the firstborn among the people of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of their cattle. The Levites shall be mine, I am Yahweh. And as the redemption price for the 273 of the firstborn of the people of Israel, over and above the number of male Levites. So this, now we know, understand, well, why are they counted? Well, we had, 22,000 Levites. We have 22,273 firstborn Israelites. We've got a problem. There's more firstborn Israelites than there are Levites to take their place. What do we do with the 273? God has a plan. And as for the redemption price for the 273 of the firstborn of the people of Israel, over and above the number of the male Levites, you shall take 5 shekels per head. You shall take them according to the shekel of the sanctuary, the shekel of 20 gerahs, and give the money to Aaron and his sons as the redemption price for those who are over. So Moses took the redemption money from those who were over, and above those redeemed by the Levites. From the firstborn of the people of Israel, he took the money, 1,365 shekels by the shekel of the sanctuary, and Moses gave the redemption money to Aaron and his sons according to the word of Yahweh, as Yahweh commanded Moses. This substitution was to be specific. It was to be precise. Each one, each firstborn Israelite who did not have a substitute in the tribe of Levi, did not have someone to stand in his place before Yahweh, to serve Yahweh, had to be redeemed with money. All of this, I'm sure you see it, points us to our greater substitute. Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, even the Son of Man came to give his life as a ransom for many. Ephesians 5 says, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. That is the language of substitution. I'm here, I have a debt, I have an obligation. Christ gave himself in my place for me. Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Ephesians 5:25, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, his bride. He paid the price. He substituted himself for us, his church. This is personal. This is precise. This is not fuzzy. This is not vague. This is not nebulous. This is one for one. Galatians 2 verse 20 says, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. This is personal. Jesus died. He took my place. Not just some fuzzy group of people. He died for me. He is my greater substitute. The Son of God loved me. He gave himself for me. The Lord took the Levites as priests in place of the firstborn son. But God gave his one and only firstborn son for us in our place so that we could now live in his presence as a kingdom of priests who offer him praise. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Revelation 1, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from among the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth, to the one who loves us and has set us free from our sins at the cost of his own blood, and has appointed us as a kingdom, as priests, serving his God and Father. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Revelation 5, they were singing a new song. You, Jesus, are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were killed, and at the cost of your own blood, you have purchased for God persons from every tribe, language, people, nation. You have appointed them as a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Let's pray. Father, thank you. That although we recognize the weight and the debt of our obligation before you, that those who approach you in an unauthorized manner must be put to death. And we are unfit. We can't make ourselves fit to enter your holy presence. But you provided a substitute, one to stand in our place, to pay the debt we owe, to take our place. Jesus, you loved your church and gave yourself up for her. Jesus, you loved me and gave yourself in my place for me so that today I could have a relationship with you and with your Father. You bring us near. We recognize this was no light matter. This was costly. Our redemption price was infinite. And you paid with your own blood, which is of infinite value and worth. Thank you for the good news that we enjoy today. Thank you for this picture as we see your people camped around your throne. And Jesus, you opened the door for us to come near, to be in your holy presence. What a treasure, what a privilege we have today in the gospel, that when you take my place, I am invited in. You take my place as a sinner, bearing the wrath that should have come my way. You stood in my place and took that on yourself. And now I can stand in your place, the place of the beloved Son, welcomed in, invited in, What a treasure we have in the gospel. Help us to treasure it rightly. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite our elders to come and prepare to serve communion. This is our opportunity to remember, to reflect on what it was that Jesus did for us, what it cost. As we've talked about, He stood in my place. God's wrath was headed rightly my way because the wages of sin is death. And I'm a sinner and I deserve not just physical death, but eternal death, separated from the presence of a good and holy and beautiful God. A God who wants to be with us, but cannot allow sin in His presence unpunished. Jesus, in my place, took that punishment, paid that debt as my substitute, as the Lamb who took away my sin, nailed to the cross my debt, so now I can enter in. If you're a believer in Jesus, if you've recognized the weight of your own guilt, what it costs, what it would require, and recognize and see in the person of Jesus your only hope, that He is the only one who could pay that price, who would open the way for a sinner like me to be no longer a sinner but a saint, and to be clothed in Jesus' perfect righteousness and invited in. This is what we're celebrating. This is what we're remembering. So if you're believing that, if that's what you're clinging to, when you're offered, take bread, take juice, hold that in your hand, reflect on what Jesus did for you, that He is your substitute. Can you say that in Galatians 2:20? He loved me. Put your name there. And gave Himself for me, not just for some nebulous group of people. Did He pay your price? Have you come to Him, confessed your sins, and received that gift that He offers? If not, why not? Right now is a great time. Simply come to Him and say, God, I'm a sinner. And my hands are dirty and I can't wash them. The stain won't come off. Would you, by the blood of your Son Jesus, would you wash me clean? Be fit to be in your presence. He loves to answer that prayer. We'll serve bread and juice. Reflect on what He's done for you. Once we've all been served, we'll, as a body of believers, we'll take that together. Jesus, thank You. It is Your body broken on the cross. As my substitute, You stood in my place. You took my sins. It is Your blood poured out that washes this sinner clean, so that no trace of my guilt, my shame, my sin can be found as I stand in the presence, welcomed into the presence of Your holy, just, and good Father. Thank You that because You took my place, I can enter in today. Thank You for the gift of the gospel, the gift of Yourself, Jesus. We remember what You did. We receive from Your hand Your grace, and we say thank You. His body broken for you, take and eat. His blood poured out to wash this sinner clean.